Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. I do appreciate you finishing out the week with us this morning. And you can now catch our show on your schedule, just in case you missed something the rest of the week earlier this month, even into December. You can find us on the Coffee Break podcast. It's at kcap.com. There's a link. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. We're all over out there. But in here today, joining us is Patrick Hutchison from the Montana VA, and he brought along some sidekicks today. We've also got Paul Harmon, the acting chief of staff, and Juliana Hollows is the suicide prevention coordinator out there with the Montana VA. Guys, thanks for joining us today. We got a full studio, but see, I told you, plenty of room, right?
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Normally a good view. It's a little cloudy out there. Might be snowing in the valley. I'm not sure. But Patrick, recently a state of the Montana VA address. I mean, there were a lot of facts and figures that came out of that presentation. But I thought maybe we could chat just to start off, just some generalities. I mean, what is the state of the Montana VA? I mean, how are things looking?
You know, right now things are looking good. We're serving, you know, I think we have 48,000 veterans enrolled. We're serving 38,000 actively. I mean, we're doing a lot of good work, and our staff is, you know, meeting the challenge every day to serve veterans and their families.
And I mean, with any operation, you're going to look back and say, you know what, things can be improved, right? I mean, what did you look back at? I'm sure you've had meetings. You sat down and looked and said, okay, 2018, this is what we did. This is what went well. This is what didn't go well. I mean, are there things that we can do better?
Oh, sure. Always. I mean, you're always looking for improvement, especially when it comes to healthcare, because, you know, that's a rolling kind of thing, that healthcare can always be improved. So what we did well, I think, and we've highlighted in the state of the Montana VA, is our community partnerships. We've done a lot of good things with joining community forces here in Helena, and with both the mayors in Billings and in Helena for suicide prevention and things like that. And if we can continue those partnerships into this next year, as well as, and do what we do daily, which is always look at our access to care and our quality.
Paul, let's you're new to the show, so let's introduce you a little bit. I mean, acting chief of staff. What are you acting out? What's going on out there? Well, what does that mean? What's your day to day look like?
Well, I think it's my day job, or my normal job is the associate chief of staff for behavioral health, but they've asked me to kind of step in while we have a vacancy in our chief of staff. We're actively looking to fill that position, but I'm filling that role until we can put somebody else in permanently into the role.
So what's that been like to sort of step into that position? I mean, I think there's always something where you think you know what this is about, and then you get there and go, wait, this is what this is about?
You know, I think that it's definitely been an interesting adventure, and you learn a lot more when you get into kind of the next level up. But I do think, you know, one of the things that has really impressed me in this new role is the great staff that we have. They're really committed to serving the veterans, and will go out of their way to help our veterans across the state of Montana. So I think that's been the thing that keeps me going, is the great efforts and the great staff that we have.
Yeah, and I mean, Fort Harrison, incredibly busy. It's the busiest VA location in the state, right? By a large measure.
Yeah, we're kind of the hub facility in the state, and then we have, you know, 17 sites of care. So, you know, we're managing clinics across the state, and, you know, our other largest site, I think, is Billings. So we're constantly, you know, what is it? The marionettes,
right?
You know? We're the puppet master.
Yeah. Cause something like, I mean, it's nearly 200,000 visits in 2018. Mm-hmm. That's almost staggering number, really. I mean, when you look at that, Billings is second on that list. I guess you would just intuitively think, well, Billings is a bigger city. Mm-hmm. Maybe Billings would get more folks visiting out there, but that's not the case.
I mean, you know, it's also where we can provide specialties and mm-hmm. what kind of services we offer. I think, we've just, like I said, kind of just been that hub facility.
So if we look ahead to 2019, a lot of things that are going to be happening out there. There's going to be, is it an 18,000 square foot primary care facility built out there coming, I guess, in the spring, right?
Yeah, so we have that. We have a parking garage project as well. I mean, there's so many projects that we're working on to improve not just Fort Harrison, but the rest of the healthcare system across the state.
So when we build that primary care center out there, what does that do for us? What is that? How does that improve what you're able to provide?
The more space available, the more providers you can put in those spaces. You can, you know, improve workflow. You can improve, you know, just for example, like let's say we wanted to add scribes. We have space for them so the doc can be face-to-face with the veteran and the veteran's family while the scribe takes the notes and things mm-hmm. like that, so the doctor isn't looking away. They're actually eyes on patient the entire time.
And I guess the big question with everything like that, any kind of project, is, okay, where's that money come from then, right? I mean, so what does that look like? What does the budget look like when you're going to build an 18,000 square foot facility? That's not just adding new windows to something, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, most
major... it's expensive windows.
Right. Very expensive windows.
They have dressings and everything. Yeah. Most projects like that, major projects like that, come from central office money. They don't come out of our operating budget.
Okay. So we're not stealing money from something that you would otherwise be able to provide in order to build the shiny new thing.
Exactly. No, we would never do that. This is from, from DC, from those central funds, we're not taking any money from veterans.
Well, something that I'm really excited about, because it's absolutely needed, you're working to convert some older buildings out there into housing. This will be specifically for homeless veterans, which is, I mean, honestly, it's tragic. Homelessness itself is a horrible thing. But for men and women who have served our country to then be in that situation, I mean, it's something that we need to address, and you're focusing on that.
Yeah, I think that that's been an excellent collaboration project. A few years ago, you know, the VA really looked at kind of all of these buildings that we have on campus that are not being used, and they've put out contracts, and we have a company that has come in and is partnering with us to renovate those buildings and run homeless housing. They've done this at several other VAs across the country, and it's been very successful there, and we're really looking forward to opening these up and getting some homeless veterans served and in housing, permanent housing.
Yeah. I mean, how many veterans, and not a specific number to put you on the spot, but just in general, I mean, how many come out there at the fort to receive care that are also homeless? Is that something that you see fairly regularly?
Yeah, I don't have the specific numbers,
sure.
But they're, you know, across our state, there is a significant number of homeless veterans. We have programs going out. We have collaboration with HUD to house over 300 veterans across the state, and we're always looking for new opportunities to house veterans.
So what is this going to look like? I mean, because right now it's the building phase, because you've got to get these things ready and livable. But what does this look like after that point? I mean, do you have a waiting list put together, or how does that work?
So, yes, our homeless department is working on creating an interest list of folks that would be interested in those housing projects, and then getting those to the group that is going to manage those homes.
Okay. So, and there's 42, is that the number that I saw?
Yeah.
42 units?
That will be eventually, there will be 42. They're not going to all open at once. I think it's going to be a kind of a staggered opening.
Sure. What's the timeline for that? I mean, I know we have to wait until the weather cooperates at this point, but I mean, in the spring, is that when everything sort of starts? And
that's what we're looking at right now, is sometime in the spring is when they're going to open those up.
Okay.
So we don't have a specific firm date yet at this point, but it looks good for the spring.
Right. There's also some work going on out there in relation to seismic mitigation, mm-hmm. right? I mean, because those are old buildings. What does that look like, and what are we doing there?
So, it is an old building, and it needs to be seismically retrofitted. And so, you know, the idea is to build new construction will go first, and then we'll shift to that new construction. And during that, once we shift, they'll renovate the current facility and retrofit that, and then we'll kind of expand to that. So it'll be more services, more space. It'll be a pretty good deal.
Yeah, there's lots of things happening out there. And elsewhere in the state, there's going to be some work being done out in Great Falls, too, at the outpatient clinic. You're expanding the size of that as well?
Mm-hmm. We're going to be actually moving that clinic to a new space, and that'll be, I believe, 3 times the size of the current clinic.
Oh, so, wow.
That'll also it'll help the providers. It'll help the veterans for sure, and it'll a few new services will go there.
Yeah, which means maybe your numbers go down because people can stay in Great Falls and get some of those services, which, you know, that's a good thing for them.
Oh, exactly. Anytime we can serve the veteran where they are, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. We've got to take a break in just a couple minutes, but I wanted to ask you before we do, telemedicine is a big deal, both just in the general medical field mm-hmm. and for you guys as well. I mean, it's a good news, bad news thing, though, really, right? Because it's great to reach out to these veterans that are in rural areas, which is all over Montana, but in a lot of those areas, there's no internet service or very, very poor internet service.
Right.
Is that something that's a focus too of, look, we've got this tool, but we can't get it to some of the people that need it?
So telehealth is huge, and we've rolled it out in several different ways. There's sort of like traditional telehealth where you come to a clinic and use a cart and a nurse would be in the room with you to, you know, use scopes and things like that, and you'd be seeing a specialist through the screen. And then there's also VA Video Connect, which we use tablets and cell phones. So any veteran with a smart device can use that. So that is less dependent on maybe Wi-Fi and more dependent on cell network. But that infrastructure is something that is kind of challenging in certain areas. And we've talked about that with several different entities, and hopefully that will improve.
Yeah, there's lots of great things on the horizon for the Montana VA system. And we're going to keep talking about offerings from the Montana VA coming up after this. Juliana Hollows has been sitting there very patiently waiting, but you're featured in this next part, I promise. You didn't just come to hang out and get a red coffee mug. So we're going to be back. Stick around. More Coffee Break coming up. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. Coffee Break is sponsored by Kelly DeWolf, your reverse mortgage funding specialist at 1422 Cedar Street, Helena. Kelly DeWolf, reverse mortgage specialist. For details, contact him at kellydewolf@reversefunding.com. Now, back to our show. Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around, finishing out our show today. The same folks that started off our show today, Patrick Hutchison, and he's with the Montana VA. Juliana Hollows hung around in the first half and didn't get to say much, but I promise she's going to talk in this half. Paul Harmon is also, and he's the acting chief of staff out there. And Juliana, you were telling me during the break that there's a need when it comes to the new housing units out there. We talked about it in the first half, retrofitting some of those buildings, making them available for homeless veterans to move into. But when we're talking about veterans that need housing, if you don't have a house, you don't necessarily have a couch or a chair or, you know, just general household items. And there's something that people can do to help that situation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm also a member of Joining Community Forces here in Helena, which is a coalition that brings individuals together who care about veterans and want to do something about it. They're an absolutely amazing organization that partners with the VA as well as local entities to serve our veterans. And at our last meeting, they brought up this concern about that. You know, not every individual who's homeless has a dining room table and a right. couch just ready to plug into a living room. So they've been reaching out to the community saying, hey, you know, spring is around the corner. If you're going to clean out and you want to move out a nice couch or dresser, let us know, because they will then be donating that furniture to our homeless veterans that are moving into those units. And so if you're listening and you're thinking, I'd like to help out and do something, contacting Joining Community Forces and donating some furniture for our homeless veterans through their program would be wonderful.
And you've got a storage facility out there. If they say, hey, I've got a couch, mm-hmm. but I've got to get it out, I can't hang on to it until these units are ready. That's okay, because you have somewhere out there to store it.
So Joining Community Forces does have storage available. Okay. They're also working with Willis Cruz House, who also houses our homeless veterans. Mm-hmm. They have a storage area. And so they're willing to work with who's ever willing to donate, because we want to make sure when our veterans and their families transition into these homes that they feel at home. And it's a big change going from nothing to something, mm-hmm. and we want to make that as comfortable as possible.
Yeah, I suppose in some ways just as intimidating and scary as being homeless to moving into a home and saying, okay, but now I have nothing to go in here. It just adds a different kind of stress, right?
Mm-hmm. It can to some, yeah. Yes.
So while you were talking, Patrick is in the business of giving out information. That's what he does. And so he was finding information, right?
I was. So anybody who wants more information on joining community forces or how to donate, they can go to montanajcf.org.
Okay, super easy. And Juliana, I guess we just started chatting with you and we didn't really introduce you or find out about you. I mean, what's the Juliana Hollow story?
Well, it was a stormy day.
It's a good start.
37 years ago. So I'm the suicide prevention coordinator for Montana VA. I work with Doug Stepina, who's also a suicide prevention coordinator for Montana VA, and Tracy Zachman, who's our case manager. And our job is to help Montana VA engage in best practices for suicide prevention and support our veterans at most risk for suicide, as well as work with our community to help them engage in best practices for suicide prevention. So those are our three target areas of focus within our program.
Okay. So how long have you been doing this? How long have you been involved with the suicide prevention?
So I'm a licensed mental health professional counselor, and I've been practicing since 2008 in that role. I came on board with the VA in January of 2016, so I'll be finishing my third year with the VA. And I think today actually might be my anniversary.
Oh,
let's
wow.
take a look.
The greatest time of her life.
Oh, it is. Today is my anniversary. Happy 3 years to me. So I'm rounding out my 3 years with the VA.
Very cool. And this is a problem in Montana as a whole when we're talking suicide, but particularly with veterans. Montana averages 55 veteran suicides a year, every year since 2014. I mean, 55. That's a horrible number.
Yeah, you know, even one is a horrible number, yeah. And it's a tragedy. And that rate does fluctuate. I think back in 2016, our rate was 68 veterans a year annually. And we are 2 to 3 times higher than the national average. And we lose the most veterans based on rate than any other state or location. So it's been significant and it's been pretty tough on us, but we've done lots of things the last 3 years to help our veterans, support families through loss of suicide. And I can say today that we actually haven't had any significant growth rates in suicide loss, while the national growth rate, I think, is somewhere between 13 and 22%. In Montana, we have not had that growth over the last 3 years.
So small victories so far,
yes,
right?
I
mean,
yeah.
I mean, I've always sort of attributed some of the state struggles with suicide just to how spread out mm-hmm. we are and how rural much of the state is, because it makes access to services to people that can help much more difficult. I mean, mm-hmm. is that fair?
I definitely think rurality plays into risk of suicide. But something as a state is we also have to look at our population. So those that are at greatest risk for suicide are men over the age of 55 who are European American, who have health challenges, exposure to trauma, and have recently separated or are alone. And so when we think about Montana, we mm-hmm. do – that is a majority of our population is over the age of 55, single white men with potential risk factors such as substance use, access to lethal means, and rurality. So we kind of have the perfect
we
storm.
We check a lot of boxes.
Yeah, we check a lot of boxes, which puts our rate up. But there are some things that we do that can help support our men and our women that are most at risk for suicide. And Montana has been on fire really with that these last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a problem just in the West in general. I think Wyoming has problems. Mm-hmm. Alaska has problems. I mean, the states like Montana, it's the same sort of things going mm-hmm. on. And it's important to know that there's help out there. I mean, it's absolutely okay to not be okay, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with you. You aren't damaged or somehow less than. Mm-hmm. you need a hand up.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because here you are, this burly man with this big old beard, for people who aren't on, who need a visual on the radio, saying that it's okay to not be okay. And what you did right there is what we call fighting the stigma. So in Montana, we have a very resilient culture of pull yourself up, you know, get out in the field, get up and work it out. And sometimes in our lives, we need to ask for help. And that's where that resilience culture needs to also recognize that it's okay to not be okay. And even then, it's okay to ask for help, especially our men who may be more reluctant to share their struggles and what they're going through.
Yeah. Well, and there's a strength in asking for help too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, rather than seeing it as weakness, you're doing something that's obviously difficult, mm-hmm. and you're reaching out. I mean, there's a show of strength in that as well.
I definitely think so. It takes a lot of courage and strength. There's a lot of fear telling someone I'm thinking of killing myself.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because I've have to move from my ranch and come into town and my health is declining, I don't feel like living anymore. There's a lot of fear there. You know, am I going to be locked up in a white room, or they're going to take my guns away? I hear those comments a lot from our veterans, and we want to dispel those myths. I mean, those aren't true. We want to get those out the door, and we want to get people comfortable about talking about suicide risk, things that bring them to that place. And I will share, in 2011, we were averaging about 100 calls to our Veterans Crisis Line. And in this last year, fiscal year 2018, we had 482 calls, and we've been going up anywhere between 60 and 100 calls every year since 2011. And what that tells me is that families and friends and veterans are more comfortable saying, I'm thinking about this, and what can I do? And I just want people out there to know they're not alone, that you can get through it. I actually just got a thank you card from a veteran who attempted suicide back in June. He's an older gentleman facing end of life things, mm-hmm. body's breaking down, feeling alone. He came onto our radar after his attempt. We reached out, we supported him through our mail program. And I after Christmas break, it felt so good. I got this card and he said, I want you to know I'm doing okay. And thank you for the work that you're doing. I love my primary care doctor. He put that in there too. And it just made me feel good, because I know that that's what we're doing for our veterans. And I see that work and I see how they get through. And I want people to know you can get through.
We're talking with Juliana Hollows. She's the suicide prevention coordinator with Montana VA. And you mentioned the crisis hotline. What's the number? I mean, how do people get a hold of you there?
Yeah, so it's 1-800-273-TALK.
Okay, that's easy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and that's available all the time.
It is, 24/7. So 1-800-273-8255. If you press 1, you'll go to our Veterans Crisis Line. We have 4 call centers. Canandaigua, Georgia, Kansas, sorry, 3 call centers. If you don't press 1, you'll go to a local Montana call center. And we've got, well, not the VA, but our state has call centers in Great Falls, Bozeman, Missoula, and Kalispell. So some of my veterans, they want to talk to someone in Montana. Mm-hmm. But I will let you know that a lot of our responders on the crisis line are veterans themselves, and we can connect you to a combat call center if you want to talk to a veteran who's been in combat as well.
Somebody who gets it.
Somebody who gets it. So there's that connection too. There's a chat line as well and a text line.
And that goes to, I mean, that main number goes to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So, I mean, this is not strictly for veterans. If
no,
you're listening going, well,
call.
I'm not a veteran. This is anybody that needs help can call that number, 800-273-8255.
Yep. And a lot of our calls, well, roughly 30% are family members and friends and providers. So people who have someone they love, a veteran, and they think, man, I don't know what to do here. I need help. They call the crisis line and they get help.
And that's okay, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You're not ratting out somebody. You're not like, you know, there's probably some concern there of, I'm worried, but I don't want to tell on them, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to get them in trouble.
Yeah, and I always talk about the difference between tattling and telling. So tattling is when we want someone to get in trouble, right? You're not getting anyone in trouble when you tell about your worries with their suicide risk. You're actually keeping them safe. So something to know when you call that number, if you agree to a referral, Within a 24-hour business day, you'll get a call from Montana VA. So you still will be connected with your local resources. So right now, Tracy Zachman, our case manager, is calling veterans back and supporting them and saying, okay, you called that crisis line. What more do you need? How can we help you? How can we route you to where you need to go? And typically, we get anywhere from 3 to 8 calls a day that she's handling and supporting our veterans, getting them connected to help.
Yeah, we've got we got about a minute left, Julianne, and something else just to mention before we run out of time. Another resource is Montana 211. We've talked about it a bit on the show in the past, but yeah, if people aren't familiar, can you just give that brief? What is Montana 211 and what help is available there?
So Montana 211 is before the crisis. So suicide prevention, we know what to do when someone says, I want to die. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is help people well before that, when they're running out of food, when their bills are piling up, when their relationships are crashing down, when their use of alcohol is over the top. 211 is that before the crisis number that anyone can call, and you can go to montana211.org, and it lists all the resources you could need within your community. And we have, the VA has financially invested in Montana 211 to specifically bolster the veteran and military service resources. We're gathering all of those groups together, updating their information so that if you call 211 and say, hey, I need help with food or furniture, they're going to look up joining community forces or the food pantry and connect
that
veteran.
So much cool stuff there.
Yeah,
so
it's
awesome. If you need that help, super easy. Just dial 211. That'll get you right there. And then once again, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. That's 273-8255. Guys, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Coffee Break, brought to you by News Radio 95 KCAP and sponsored by Kelly DeWolf, your reverse mortgage funding specialist at 1422 Cedar Street, Helena. Kelly DeWolf, reverse mortgage funding specialist. Kelly DeWolf at reversefunding.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.